Figure out how to make your life better, that we bring you some real value. And today we have a special, special guest to do that. Ways to make your life better, make it so that it's easy to implement. And that's the goal, bring you quality. And of course, I know many of you are already familiar with the good things when you go to advancedliving.com. That's 20 years of hard work to bring you some easy ways to make changes. And today, I am so delighted to bring you wonderful, wonderful guest, Belinda Farrell. And Belinda is a certified master hypnotherapist, is a master practitioner of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, is a trained technical remote viewer, and for those that love Hawaii, a certified Hana practitioner, which is the ancient Hawaiian healing art. She holds a degree in English and Spanish from the University of California, Berkeley, and a lifetime elementary teaching credential. And she has done firewalking 18 times. Linda, yes, it was also, get ready for this, folks, a precision stunt car driver for TV commercials, a film and stage actress. She's a mother with two children and a new grandson. And Belinda, as a psychic energy healer, she lectures as a frequent guest on TV and radio shows, the show Seeing Beyond. She conducts 4 levels of Huna healing workshops, as well as a 3 to 4 hour personal breakthrough sessions in Tiburon, California, where you can turn to her for help with healing the root cause from the inside, thus, of course, enhancing your performance on the outside. Well, you bet. And in 1993, Belinda collapsed from a herniated disc in her spine. Now, get ready for this. I mean, that's severe. And instead of surgery, Belinda chose to apply the ancient healing techniques of Huna that she'd experienced in Hawaii. Well, her back completely healed within 2 days. 2 days. And, of course, that changed her life forever, brought her into the work that she's doing and that we'll be sharing with us today. Oh, my goodness, there's just so much more. I'm going to give her a chance to explain about some of the different things that she offers on her website. Anyway, I can't wait. Belinda, how are you there, darling?
Oh, thank you. It's such an honor to be here, Ken. I mean, we're in a different state, but we're right next door here.
Yes.
It was wonderful meeting you and connecting with you and being able to be here today.
Oh, it's a distinct pleasure. I am so excited to have my listeners learn about what you do and how to add to their lives, because for many people, they may have heard the Hawaiian expression, oh, he's a big kahuna.
Right.
We got to get a little bit more knowledge about what is this Huna stuff from Hawaii.
Well, so, I, you know, do you want me to explain how I got into this?
I'd love to.
I was always being drawn to Hawaii for other programs, you know, like hypnosis and masterwork in hypnosis and NLP. And I was drawn to hearing the chanting, and I was drawn to, you know, what the kahunas did years before when they could heal without, you know, medical training or anything. They just healed with herbs and psychic abilities, and I was fascinated with all of this, and I started to hear about it. And for some deep reason, I felt that this was something I was going to teach. You know how you just have a knowing, an inner sense. It was like I knew this is what I had been looking for, the cherry for the cake. I had a lot of ingredients. I knew how to put the cake together, but this was going to top it. And because I was always looking for deeper wisdom. And that's how I came to hear about it and learn about it. And then I had to really integrate it. I had to beg some ancient Hawaiians to teach me the chants because they weren't really, you know, dying to teach a haole, you know, how to do their ancient, very sacred chants. And so I wouldn't go away, and they knew I was the real deal, and so I finally did get one to become my kumu, my teacher, and learned all of these phenomenal things that when I needed it, when I collapsed, I not only collapsed from the herniated disc, but I had scoliosis as a child, and so I was always with an irregular curvature of the spine. I had to wear a brace for many years. I had a lot of weakness in the back, brought on by fear of from my family and different, more deeper reasons. So when I collapsed, I had nerve damage, I had sciatica, I was paralyzed. It was not just a little herniated disc, it was the whole chihuahua. And it was like a miracle that I healed completely, not only from the disc, but from the scoliosis and everything. I was given a new back. So it was quite a miracle, and it changed my life forever when I was able to apply the ancient Huna techniques and see how it dramatically changed my life.
We are coming back to more advanced living, bypass the technical glitch there, and for those of you that want to click onto another browser as well as listen to the program, you can go to www.hunahealing.com and be looking at some of the things that Belinda does as we hear more about. And she was sharing the story of her miraculous healing of her spine, of a herniated disc and a lifetime of scoliosis. Belinda, that's truly, I mean, a major miracle.
Well, you know, when I learned about Huna, it teaches you how to understand the three cells of man. And we all have an unconscious mind that actually runs our body. And then we have the conscious mind, which is the logical part of us. And then we have a higher self. And the higher self, I learned, was something that we all have, but it holds the blueprint of our perfect health. And the unconscious mind has the key that can get you to your higher self to bring down this perfect health inside of you. And so once you learn how to do that, the higher self can heal you from anything. And so it was so complete from, you just learn how to clear all of the thought forms that are in the way, and then you begin to see what it is that you're feeling for your body. And I kept seeing myself out there climbing trees. All you have to do is have the idea, the emotion, and that's what you feed the unconscious, which is the emotional part of you. And it got excited about seeing me climbing trees. And so it sent that all the way up the pipeline to the higher self, which actually brought it down inside. It brought me down the spine and the body that would be able to climb trees easily.
Oh, wow.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. There is that the higher self, or I guess maybe some people call it a divine perfection.
Right. But it's in everyone.
Yes.
We all have it.
Bring it out.
Exactly. And a lot of people play phone tag with themselves because they have the desire and they want to send it up, but it's like their garage is clogged. You know, when the garage is clogged, you can't park the car there.
No.
So you have to take out all the junk, you know, that's been accumulating inside your house or your garage so that the desires can reach, you know, its destination. Higher self can't hear what you want unless, you know, it gets the message.
Sure. Now, does that mean helping in the unconscious mind area, or?
Yes, it does. It means clearing out the old negative thought forms that have been buried there, getting you to get some learnings from them so that the body can release them. Because the unconscious will hold them until you get the learnings. It's protecting you. So its job is to hold all of this stuff down in these little black bags. And see, most people don't want to feel that. So they take alcohol and drugs and caffeine and sugar and all of those things to numb themselves so they don't feel the stuff that they really do need to feel so that the body can release it.
Mm. All right. Going through some stuff gets us to a higher level of well-being.
Exactly.
Okay. Wow. Well, that's important. And then you found, I guess, in your searches that there's some things that are unique in the HUNA arena that just call to you.
Well, HUNA means secret. These are the ancient Hawaiian healing secrets. Because there was no mental illness on the islands. There was none. Before the missionaries came there, these people lived idyllically. They knew how to clear things from their body. They did so every night at sunset, this process of forgiveness, and resolve their relationships inside themselves. And that's what I teach. That's the basis of my teaching, is to teach this relationship resolution process. And so they would do that every evening, and they knew how to sit for hours and breathe consciously to connect to their higher self and send their desires up to these higher points of creation. That was their whole purpose, was to reach these higher levels of creation.
And in doing that, they had, like you had mentioned, an idyllic lifestyle of, I guess, wonderful health and wonderful relationships, and many of us have heard about the just the fabulous amount of love that the cultures had shared with their members.
Yeah, well, aloha means in the presence of the divine. It's the deepest form of love that there can be, because it's like namaste. It's like when you say namaste, you're connecting to the divinity in you and into another person. And aloha has that same deeper meaning. And the islands are all filled, you know, with that aloha. It's Hawaii. Hawaii, the word ha is another word for breath, for the higher breath. It's a ha breath. So it's like a deep breath through the nose and then a ha breath out through the mouth. And vai means water or life force, and e is supreme. So they didn't mean that they just lived in this little island out in the Pacific. They were conveying that they live on the deep breath that rides the deep, beautiful breath that connects to the higher self that gives you everlasting, you know, mana.
Wow. And you'd made mention of a key fact.
Hello? I'm not hearing you, Ken. Hello?
Hello again.
Hello again.
Linda, you and I are back for more advanced living, and technical glitches have called upon us to find the goodness in every little adversity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's perfect because the topic was about forgiveness.
So we always have to forgive ourselves for the way that we're attaching to the meaning of what happens to us.
Mm.
This is the real forgiveness. It's not always about the other person. The other person, or let's say the glitch, is something that just triggered a button in you or me or the technician, and then we attach our meaning to it. And those are what the Hawaiians call the aka cords. And so when you attach this aka cord, it either drains your energy or it lifts you up, regardless on how you put meaning to it.
Mm.
So that's why it's necessary to dissolve our cords every day, because during a lifetime, if you've never been taught to cut your cords, they accumulate and squash your organs.
Oh.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Wow, at a physiological level.
Yeah, because, I mean, the Bible talks about them. The Egyptians talked about them in their hieroglyphics. The ancients knew what this aka was all about, what would happen to us when we lower our energy and, you know, invest in thoughts that are not of a high vibration. And so they're like sticky. The Egyptians would depict it, our unconscious, as a grasshopper. You know, it has sticky things, and so these cords would adhere to it like glue. And if they're not dissolved every day, they'll accumulate, you know, around your unconscious, which is running your body.
Okay.
And it would show them, you know, like you would be tied up in like knots, knots within the cords. And then it would show a prayer trying to reach up to the higher self, and it couldn't get up there because the knot was preventing it from going up there, you know, a block in your pipes. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. This is all in Egyptian hieroglyphics. It's very, very similar to the Hawaiian.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so that's key as to why it's important to forgive.
Right. It's forgiving ourselves.
Yeah.
Forgiving ourselves.
And in that forgiveness, as I'm summarizing, that forgiveness process is about looking at the meaning that we attach to an event,
mm-hmm.
And resolving that meaning until there's something, I guess, of beauty or love.
Exactly. Because that's really all that there is. It's just the way that the ego, you know, your mind, has interpreted based on what you have to learn. You know, how do you look at your mother? How do you look at your father? How do you look at the members of your family? How do you look at money? How do you look at the IRS? All of these things, you know, influence the relationships inside of you. And when I do my sessions, you know, over the phone or in person, we always go through this relationship resolution process. It's called ho'oponopono. That's the Hawaiian word. And ho'o means to make. Pono means right. And you do it twice. Ponopono. So you make right inside of yourself. That's what you're actually doing. You're making things right again. You're making amends. Mm-hmm. Because if you have resentment towards someone and you can't stand them or you feel this animosity towards them, it doesn't really hurt that other person because you're the one that has swallowed the poison of that resentment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really like, you know, you're swallowing the arsenic and expecting them to die.
Yes, and that doesn't happen.
Nope.
That could be having a particularly marvelous day.
Exactly, not having a clue of what you're going through. So that's why the forgiveness is about you. It's always about us.
So when in the Bible it talked about turn the other cheek or love your enemy?
Yeah, there's a deeper reason for that, a higher consciousness for that particular thing. Because it sounds as though you're being weak, but it really is exactly the opposite.
Yeah, choosing not to, as you said, poison yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's a huge part of the healing, you know, of ourselves. If you want to take an active part in your own healing, then you will go in and resolve your relationships. And then symptoms inside the body tend to release.
So now is there a process, like, I guess, because most people have some places in which they're bothered by something.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you're bothered by it in any way, then that's kind of a negative consequence, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you
have... The body is just like a dipstick. You know, it's like a little dipstick. And it will tell you where it's having, I just call it a temper tantrum. And that's where you need to talk to it, communicate to it, so that it can be resolved. Remember, it's like a little child, it's like a little injured kitten, the unconscious mind that's running your body. And it responds to, it's instinctual. And it's constantly getting direction from the conscious mind. So it doesn't really do anything until you give it some direction. So if you get angry, it will send down that anger, and so then the instruction for the computer, your unconscious mind, is to develop a chemical to bruise your heart muscle. Because that's what anger does. If you're in fear or resentment, it will lower the immune system, lower all your healing energy. And guilt is probably the worst, because if you think you've done something wrong, the message that you send down to the unconscious is that I've been bad. And so it says, gee, I've been bad, so I better develop a disease to give to him. And that's what it does.
Now, is that like a punishment, or...?
Only because it's been instructed to do so.
Oh.
There is no such thing as guilt except in the ego mind. You've never done anything wrong. But the body will take that on, thinking that it has done something wrong, and invent a disease to give to you, just to prove that you're right.
So how does this interrelate them in Christianity, some of the different teachings? There's these Ten Commandments, thou shalt not do this and that,
mm-hmm.
and on and on.
Well, again, all of the basis of religion, you know, it comes from good, you know, good intentions. But then they start to separate themselves. Huna goes back before we had separation. Huna is more about oneness. It's more that we're all connected, that we're all the same. We all have spirit. We all have to live together on this planet Earth together. And so there's no I'm this, you're that, you know. And so that's where religion comes in and separates us.
Okay.
So, I mean, I was raised a certain religion, and I couldn't adhere to it. I was raised Catholic. I was raised in a convent. You know, I was told that I was too joyful when I was in that convent. They would call my mother and say, she's too joyful, she's not suffering enough. I never bought into the suffering. I really was a very optimistic, happy, joyful child. And this religion was trying to beat me down and get rid of it. And so I was finally expelled from Catholic school.
I can see that, a black mark for too much joy.
But, you know, I'm really very proud of it, because I'm grateful that I was able to see through the facade, and it just didn't work for me. My work was to bring joy and to change the suffering into more of an ascension for people. And that's why swimming with the dolphins has been such a blessing. Because they are all about joy and celebration. And they jump and spin out of the water and remind you of the joy that's inborn in all of us. It's just blocked by all of that negative thought form.
Huh. And you were mentioning something, and then I was reading about dolphins and sonaring us. Can you explain
right.
that a little bit?
Well, when we're in the water, and I take people every year, it's two seminars, and we're there a week at a time, and we're in the water with them in the morning. And the water, again, is like a telephone system because we are more than 80% water. And so the dolphins see us as a piece of sheet music. And they see where we're out of harmony, where we're in dissonance. And so they want to put us back into that harmony again. So they will use their sonar to, you know, to blast us through the water with these, you know, high-pitched sounds and clicks. And it's like we can't hold on to our depression. We can't hold on to that fear. You know, all of a sudden, it's like we're giggling and laughing, and we're in that joy that mirrors the higher part of us that the dolphins want us to see. You see, the dolphins don't have the chatter, you know, our beta patterns, the self-talk, you know, all our negative conscious self-talk. They don't have that. They just have the quiet alpha and theta, and this is where we want to go when we're in meditation. And so, again, it's like stop the chatter, you know, get down into your beauty, into your harmony, and it's just incredible. It's like you get your soul polished every time you're with them. That's why I've been doing it for, I've been swimming with them for 13 years. I was scared to death of the water. So they had to teach me how to swim and be with them. It was one of my biggest fears.
Wow.
So I now take people to swim with them. And so anybody who's scared, I've been there before too. And you can overcome anything.
Huh. Now I'm curious. Some of your work makes mention of sleeping cells.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not a terrorist activity.
Well, in a sense, you know, a lot of our cells lay dormant. And English is not a very, it's a young language, so it doesn't have a lot of power to awaken them. And so when you hear chanting, when you hear ancient sounds, even drumming, the sounds of the sonar, the cells within you that have been laying dormant tend to, you know, kind of stand at attention. They want to wake up. When I do sessions with people, I do a chant that asks for dark entities that are inside the body, that have invaded the body, to really to just rattle their cage and let them know that it's time to leave and to move to the light. And that's what these cells do. They talk to these cells, and they've been just kind of laying there, waiting for someone to come and take them to another level of existence, a higher level.
Oh, so some of that sleeping cells is some of that kind of like darkness?
It can be. There's no judgment on it. I call it either, if it hasn't moved in a while, then it's stuck.
Hmm.
And it can make you feel very uncomfortable. It can be, you know, around your head, your eyes, it can invade any part of you. And you can try all the healing work you want to and eat all the vitamins and stuff, and it still feels yucky because these things are still attached. And they come in when you've had some weakness, you know, during a time of weakness, if there's ever been a time of maybe more drinking alcohol or drugs or nicotine or hanging out, you know, at bars or, you know, just hanging out with people that have low density energy. These things are looking for a home. So they say, oh, here, this is a nice place. Let's settle here. And if you don't have enough energy to, you know, not allow that, they come in and attach.
Ah, now, is this, I guess, one term some people have mentioned, entities or,
mm-hmm.
or negative
mm-hmm.
energies?
Yes. I don't call it negative. I just say it's darkness.
Just darkness.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good, so it's the opposite of feeling light.
Yeah.
And
okay.
you just wanna move it away. And I don't know anything more effective than than the chance. The chance really seemed to take it away more quickly.
Ah, and these are things that we are shared during sessions with you?
Yeah, and I have them on CDs.
Oh.
I have a CD called Chant and Forgiveness. And that guides you through the process of dissolving your cords. It guides you through the relationship resolution process. And that's a very powerful CD that's been translated in other languages. And it's available on Amazon as well as on my website.
Oh, and that is the hunahealing.com?
Yes, yeah.
And
it's Chant and Forgiveness. If you buy it through me, then I send you a lot of extra additional visual information. Amazon just sends out the CD. They don't have access to, you know, the extra stuff.
Oh, okay.
But you do get it cheaper. So it depends on what you want. Either way,
and these are some of the chanting is these ancient secret Huna chants?
Yes. Yeah. They're all very. They're from, 14th century. They're very, very old.
And this is stuff that Don Ho does at his concert.
No, they're not that.
Okay.
Not at all. This is ancient. And then I have another CD called Enchantment, and that has no talking in it. That is just the chants and the sounds of the dolphins and the whales, and it's a beautiful CD that you can put in your car. You can listen to it anytime, and it has a higher self connection. There's an 8-page booklet in there that has even the chants written out so that you can learn them if you are so drawn to, and then it guides you to your own higher self connection with the breath.
Wow. Now, I know for a number of my listeners and about 50 million people in our country, sleep deprivation or sleep disorders is a big issue.
Right. And I have a sleepy time chant.
No.
I have an ancient Hawaiian chant which asks your conscious mind to go to sleep and to enter, braid it into the dream time. It asks to change you from a solid to a liquid, and has the English there, and it's a beautiful chant. And it, I've used it even on airplanes when kids are like, you know, screaming, and as soon as I start chanting it, they go right to sleep.
Oh. Wow. So, I mean, is this, like, generally good for fussy children anywhere?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. You know, or it's also the soundtrack underneath a DVD that I have of the dolphin seminars. So if you get the DVD, you'll see the dolphins and how that mute and just their musical playing and how we interact with them in Hawaii. And then the soundtrack is this sleepy time chant, so it really puts you into a very meditative state. I have it in a lot of doctor's offices and lawyer's offices and places where people need to be relaxed.
Yes.
Get to watch that.
Oh, dentists would love that.
The dentists, right, and the lawyers. And
yes.
Veterinarian places.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, now, for the animals, that could even help them because the animals tend to get so traumatized by the fear of things that have happened to other animals, and then they sense
that. I've had women, I have one woman that wrote me a letter, and she said her cat was just a crazy cat, just absolutely crazy. And she played my sleepy time chant for it, and every time it hears it, it goes into a meditative position. It's like it's praying with its paws, and it lays perfectly still, listening to the chant. And it's the funniest thing, and she took a picture of it, you know, being crazy, and then in this Buddha-like state, it is so hysterical.
Yeah, you don't have that on your website yet, do you?
No, I don't. I don't. I should get more things on there.
Well, when you have time, that was just that would be a treat, I know, for myself. And
definitely. That's a very good idea.
And all the visitors go to hunahealing.com.
That's right. I'm getting some new. I've had my website up for 10 years, and it's just now getting revised and, you know, upgraded and updated. So
sure.
It takes me a while. I'm
Well, and I know you're busy with your work.
Right.
So a website's a whole separate matter. But
certainly one of my challenges.
Now, if people want to call to get more information, how do they do that?
Well, they can call me toll-free at 866-583-8370. And that's my voicemail, and I can they can leave a time that I can call them back. And I'd be very happy to answer any questions if they wanted to go. I have 3 spots left for my June trip, from the 10th to the 16th. And then I have a few spots in August, August 26th to September 1st. This is the 9th year that I've been conducting these seminars.
And is that like a whole package with the airfare and accommodation?
The 7 days and the 6 nights and the 2 seminars is included, but not the airfare. It's $3,300 for the 7 days and 6 nights. We have a private chef. We have a jacuzzi, hot tub in the backyard. This home is just phenomenal. And it covers your dolphin seminar. We have to teach you how to be with the dolphins. It's not just jumping in the water, chasing them. It's a whole, we have to prepare your energy so the dolphins would be attracted to want to come and swim with you, because they have to want to come and swim with us. We don't chase them.
Okay. Well, that's important, to learning how to draw to us what we want.
Exactly.
I had
a woman, 2 women last year, different stages, one in June and one in September, with both end-stage breast cancer. And both of them are in remission. They came home and their symptoms just subsided by being with the dolphins. It was amazing. The one woman in June, this one dolphin just kind of told everyone to leave her alone, and he stayed with her, looking at her, gazing at her, sonaring her. I mean, it was the most amazing thing to watch. And she was just with her boogie board. She didn't dive or anything. This was her first time, you know, in any kind of ocean. It's bay. But this dolphin just stayed with her. He knew what was going on, and he was there to heal her. And she was quite taken with this. It was quite an emotional experience for her.
Oh, wow. Now, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so that's something that the dolphins can do with when someone can be in severe illness?
Severe illness. They've done studies all over, to, you know, especially like with people with depression. And they did a study, the British did a study, where they monitored people who had been on medication. They took all their medication away. It was at the University of Leicester. And they did it. It was a swimming session with 15 depressed people, and it was carried on in Honduras. And they found that their symptoms improved more among the group that were swimming with the dolphins than another group who swam in the same area but didn't interact with the dolphins.
Oh.
And so these people didn't need to get back on their antidepressants after that.
Oh, boy, more Prozac for the rest of us.
Well, hopefully not.
No.
but the dolphins are a great, yeah. They trigger the joy. And
yes,
that comes from inside. It's not about, you know, we can be happy about things, but happy is temporary. Pure joy comes from really like a life spring from within you. And then once you take the cloud away, it's like peeling the onion. Once you finish peeling the onion and the, you know, the protection you've been holding over yourself, then the joy springs up.
And that's part of this, would you pronounce that again? The
Ho'oponopono.
Ho'oponopono?
Yes, that's right, ho'o. Ho'o means to make, and you're making right. You're making things right within yourself. And most people have a lot of worthiness issues. You know, when I have people come to me for a session, I have them write a script of what they do say to themselves. What is their negative self-talk? And you'd think these people are just, you know, they're happy, they're successful, they're leading great lives, and inside they just totally hate themselves. They're not good enough, they're a perfectionist, they can't do what they should, they're not doing what they should be doing. They're just self-loathing. And that is what's running your body.
Now, I'm curious, Belinda, I don't know if in your experience, I'm hearing you make mention that there's some people that on the surface folks would say, well, this is a happy person, they're successful, they've got whatever, they vacation, they've got a good amount of things in the material world, versus people where, when you look at some other people's lives, they're in a lot of pain, their material life is in shambles, they're, you know, paycheck to paycheck, and I'm just curious about anything you've discovered, in the contrast between those, or
well, it depends on the degree of, again, people who are living paycheck to paycheck are also, you know, in lack, you know, and feeling that they can't move beyond that. And once they begin to start feeling, and it's gratitude for even what they have right now, and then shifted and began to see a different life for themselves. They have to be, you know, it's like if you're going off course, you know, and you're in a boat and you've been steered off course, you need another navigator to come and take your boat so that you steer to where your destination, where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all need a guide every once in a while. And if your life is not taking its course, then it's time to shift gears. It's time to go inside and make some changes so that you can see where you can go in a different way.
All right.
No one can interfere with a person's free will. So they have to choose, you know, what they want to do. And I'm a tour guide. I'm a tour guide. I can only help the people that ask me for help.
Sure. Well, that's very important. Now, one of the things, if I can make a quick summary from what you were just saying, is that that there's different levels of healing. But if someone isn't very comfortable in the material world, then the key step that you would put forward for them is about gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we have gratitude and forgiveness, because apparently, if I'm understanding, the people that are doing well in the world but still may have internal issues and negative self-talk, they have enough gratitude that they're bringing to them more comfort or more material abundance?
Well, you know, material things are always an option. You know, you can take them or leave them. I mean, even some of the wealthiest people on this earth just turn their back on them and choose to live more simply. It's always a choice. I think when you get to the point of consciousness, then you can decide whether you want to be in the world or of the world. You can walk in the world. You can be effective in the world. But it's like you're not really attached to the world. You know, things can come and go, and it's fine with you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
They talk about being in the world and not of it.
Exactly. And so you can almost like turn things on and off like a soap opera. And so a lot of the things that people do in the world is not going to affect you, you know, as much. We need to make our mark in the world by being peaceful in the world, by being loving in the world, and not kind of going with the anger or with the dissatisfaction or with the fear or with all the other things that grab people and take them out of themselves. So if you can make a contribution by staying in harmony with your own vibrations, then you're giving more to the world in your own way than, you know, I guess maybe getting angry and standing on a street corner and yelling at the top of your lungs how the injustices are happening in the world. I mean, that's not going to change them.
Okay. So there's a song that starts with "Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me."
That's right. And that's right. And sometimes even gatherings, peaceful gatherings, harmonic convergences, and where, you know, one or more is gathered in my name, all of these things help to change the consciousness. I mean, we are changing. The world is shifting. We have to. You know, the inconvenient truth that Al Gore put out, I mean, all of these things are making people aware that we have to act now. We have to do our part. So that the next world or whatever shift is going to be happening will either not be as violent or, you know, or we'll move into it much more harmoniously. We'll make a change. We'll make some kind of shift in consciousness. This was a prediction. The Hopis predicted by 2012, if we don't make a shift before that, we won't go beyond the Mayan calendar, which was 2012. We're coming up to that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an etching done on a rock, a huge rock, out in the, I think it was in Arizona or in New Mexico, and it showed these two paths that we were taking, and we were going back and forth on these paths. One led to this path of these people who were, they had heads and not attached to the body. They had a head with a hat on it and no attachment to the body. And that was determining this greed and people who were not connected to their hearts. Yeah. You know, the Enron companies of
sure.
today. And the other path was of abundance and longevity and people helping one another and wisdom and, you know, working with the land and working with the Mother Earth. And we had to make a choice of which path we were going to be on. And that would determine... 2012 was written at the top of that rock of whether we would go beyond that or not.
Mm. And so people can turn to you for support in this forgiveness process, using these ancient chants.
Yes.
And to break those, what did you call them, the cords?
Well, yes, there are our cords, our connections that we've had, the old way we were looking at things, our agenda, you know. And so the higher self in you, when you ask for the higher self to come in, it melts the cords, it dissolves them so that you can begin again, so that every energy changes, these people leave your perimeters, and you begin again. With a brand new day, with a brand new thought, you're a brand new person.
And then, remind me, it was how many times a day that the Hawaiians...
They did it once a day.
Once a day.
Yeah, I do mine at every night when I take a bath. I cut my cords, I dissolve them every night.
Wash away the day and
yeah.
and anything that that wasn't, I guess, like love.
Exactly. I mean, you brush your teeth, right, Ken?
Well, yes, I do.
Good. Well, some people take care of the outside of themselves. This is going in and really cleaning up the plaque of the soul.
Yeah.
I'm the roto-rooter of the soul.
Ah, there you go. And I think that's so important because, like you were just saying, we'll change the oil in the car or you know, we'll clean the dishes
mm-hmm.
to get the old crud off. I mean,
right.
Whose house would you want to go to if when they served their food, it was on dishes with four layers of old food stuck on it?
Oh, yeah. But well, everything's a mirror, you know. Everything's a mirror.
So
make sure that your house is in good order.
Yeah, and we can visit Huna Healing, HUNAHEALING.com
right.
to learn more about how to get a hold of your CDs, one for the chant and forgiveness and enchantment.
Right.
And then this one, of course, the sleepy time chant.
Right.
For whether it's tough with our own sleep, with fussy children, or animals that are negatively affected by the energies around them.
That's correct.
Well, I want to thank you, Belinda, for taking time to be a guest and open this door and remind people that they can reach you at 866-583-8370 or www.ahunahealing.com to learn more about that work and to take advantage of some of those open slots. They wanted to go with you to be with the dolphins.
Well, it would be wonderful, Ken. I would just so be honored, you know, to have people that listen to your talk show be involved with this.
Oh, I know it would be a blessing to their lives, and I invite all my listeners to, one, of course, continue to have a wonderful week, and if there's some little glitch that happens along the way,
that's right.
We now know what to do.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Yes.
A heaping dose of forgiveness and gratitude. And then we look forward to more new goodness that will be coming on next week. We'll have Brigitte Mars, who's going to be talking about her adventures with raw foods, and invite you, of course, to visit advancedliving.com to see some wonderful ways to make your lives better. In the meantime, I call forth and invite a blessing upon all of us, that we are peaceful and calm inside, that we forgive all those things and clear ourselves on a daily basis, as Belinda has mentioned, and then watch through the gratitude, the blossoming of our lives. Have a wonderful week. Belinda, thank you.
Thank you. Mahalo and many, many blessings.
You too. Mahalo.
Bye-bye.
Let go.